Hello. Have you noticed when politicians and businesses mess up, they speak of their regret. They do everything possible to avoid saying sorry. Or they push it back on us and they say, if you have found something unfortunate in the words that I have used, then of course it is a matter of some regret to me. They wriggle and they try and avoid using the sorry word as much as possible. They're full of regret. Regret that they got caught, that they've been called out. Regret that they, not the people they've hurt, are now going to be inconvenienced or somehow suffer in some way because of this. By issuing a statement of regret, they want to give the appearance of being contrite, but without actually accepting the responsibility, the liability, the consequences of their actions. Regret is not an apology. Regret is not the same thing as sorry. Jesus began his teaching ministry with a very simple and direct message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That word repent can sometimes sound a bit old-fashioned and a bit judgmental, like you're being accused of something, judged, labelled. But that's not what Jesus meant, and it wasn't what people around him thought Jesus meant. The Greek word metanoia means to change direction, change your thinking, change your attitude or your outlook on life. Don't just express regret. Repent. Go all in. You've been heading in one direction. Wise up. Come to your senses. You'll find life works better if you go in this direction instead. And yes, it isn't even about just simply saying sorry or making an apology. It's about a change of direction. Somehow, despite how tough life can be, being around Jesus somehow made life seem just a little bit better, a bit more hopeful. When you or someone you love is faced with sickness, you know, when the cancer isn't going away, when the treatment that seems so invasive, and for what? Or when life seems so stacked against you, your postcode or inherited genes always seem to hold you back. You're treated less favourably simply because of the colour of your skin. Everything within you wants to believe, dares to hope that someday, somewhere, call it heaven, there will be a place where there is no more tears, no more death or mourning, no more crying or pain. And yet for some, and maybe that's you, they feel so let down by life, so failed by the system that was supposed to be there to protect us. To believe just seems too painful, like picking a scab. Jesus says to you, dare to change your thinking. Hear me, trust me, take the risk and embrace the life that I, Jesus, have for you. Live the way you were always wired to be. Kingdom, not empire. A taste of heaven on earth. Repent. Change your thinking. Sometimes we have to repent, change our thinking, not just because of what has happened to us and our experience and what empire has done to us, but also because of what we have done to others. For the part that we have played in tolerating, perpetuating the system of empire, not kingdom. Jesus was speaking to all when he said, repent. It doesn't matter what your age, faith, gender, ethnicity, how long you've been a part of a church community, whether you've been a Christian for many years or just only recently, or even just contemplating the thought of it. Jesus says the same to all of us. Repent. Change your thinking. Change your direction in life. For all of us, there's something that we can apply that to. At the moment, the light is rightly being shone on the darkness of racism. Yes, the direct and unsubtle racist comments, attitudes that are easy to call out. But more often, on the far more subtle attitudes, the tolerances that allow some people to be treated better or worse simply because of the colour of their skin, the place of their birth, or their first language. It's in the unconscious bias, the institutional racism, the structures within the very fabric of life itself and how we organise ourselves. We like to think that we're all in this together, that COVID-19 affects us all equally, but we know that isn't the truth. People of colour, for example, those who are Black Asian or Black British, are twice as likely to die from COVID-19 related causes as white British people. Why is this? Earlier in the pandemic, people focused their research on trying to work out whether this was due to higher rates of underlying health conditions in ethnic and minority communities, or whether even there were physical weaknesses within some communities. This week, the Office for National Statistics, the ONS, has concluded that the higher death rates are nothing to do with the physicality or underlying health conditions within Black and minority ethnic communities. It's socioeconomic factors, such as where you live, how many people live in the same household, the job you do and so forth. It's these things that determine your life chances. The question we should all then be asking is, why? Why is it that more people of colour experience these socioeconomic disadvantages than white people as a generalisation? What are the social and economic policies, structures, the way things that just are, that mean people of colour in this country too often still start the race of life behind those who are white British or who have longer settled here? This is a question for us all, whatever our ethnicity. If we accept this as just how things are, doesn't that make us as colluding with empire, not kingdom? In May, George Floyd was killed. A court will decide if this was murder. Police officers knelt on his neck for 8 minutes, 46 seconds. Even when he appeared to stop breathing, they carried on for 2 more minutes. And when paramedics arrived, they still carried on for a further 20 seconds before releasing him. If only this was just a one-off, an isolated, tragic, cruel incident by one rogue police officer. The true tragedy is that racism is alive and well today, despite all our rhetoric. So we need to hear each other's stories. To be honest, whatever our ethnicity or skin colour, this can leave us all feeling uncomfortable. But that's no reason to duck or to pretend it doesn't happen. Maybe it's time for us all to embrace the conversation. Maybe it's time for us all to take the knee. You know, repent, change direction. There's a humility about taking a knee. When someone gets down on one knee to propose to the love of their life, when surrendering to one more powerful than you, when kneeling before the queen, the monarch, ultimately, when kneeling before God, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And so in recent times, athletes and sports people have led the way in taking the knee as a way of showing solidarity with those who have been oppressed by racism, as an act of resistance against the disease, the system of racism, as a sign of humility, contrition, repentance for the sin of racism. Whilst most people see this as a brave and powerful symbol, there are of course a few who react against it. Maybe you've heard the odd comments of somebody saying, "I'd never take the knee." What they mean is, they wouldn't take the knee for people of colour. They either think there is no racism because they haven't experienced it, maybe because of their own skin colour, or if there is, it's got nothing to do with them. Jesus says, repent, change your thinking, educate yourself. In July, I went to London to be an ally with my ministers of colour colleagues. Opposite the House of Commons, on the street and in silence, we took the knee for 8 minutes, 46 seconds. It was hugely powerful. For the first 1 or 2 minutes, I was praying, talking to God, asking him, seeking forgiveness. Then my knees started to hurt, 4 minutes. The concrete became harder and I tried to discreetly adjust my position. It was getting painful. 6 minutes. It became deeply uncomfortable. Now real pain. 7 minutes. I just wanted this to end. 8 minutes. And still there was more. Do you know, when the whistle blew at 8 minutes 46 seconds, I was so relieved. And yet I felt so called out too. Here was me, a white privileged male who has had so many advantages in life, and I'm complaining about my sore knees. And I've missed the point. It's important to feel the pain of others. Then we are able to repent, to change our thinking, change our attitude. 200-300 years of the transatlantic slave trade that ripped 12 million people away from their homes, families, communities, shipped them as cargo, claiming insurance on the 15-25% of human cargo that perished en route, then forced them to work to create the wealth that propelled the British Empire, that our wealth, our pension funds today, our privilege are built on. Repent. Change your thinking. Change your way of looking at this. In 2007, the Baptist Union apologised for the sin of racism and the enormity of the transatlantic slave trade. This was a really important moment. There was no statement of regret, just a clear and, I believe, sincere apology. Next week, we'll see why it's an important step, but it's not the final conclusion. There's more yet. Now, of course, we know that we all make mistakes. We all get things wrong at times, and definitely no more times than me. Believe you me. Even Apostle Paul, hero of the Christian faith, says, "And I am the worst of sinners." It's the Holy Spirit who searches our hearts and convicts us of wrongdoing, of sin, whatever that might be. And of course, that's different for each of us. None of us can claim to be practically perfect in every way. Not unless, of course, you either are Mary Poppins or Jesus. What God calls out in you will be different to what God calls out in me. I guess we have to make sure we don't let pride stop us from coming before God in repentance. Don't let Christ rob us of the opportunity of experiencing the life that Christ has for us, that freedom. When Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near," what does that mean for you today? What is the Holy Spirit calling out in you? The good news is that repentance comes with forgiveness, restoration, and restored relationship. When we say sorry, we are restored back into right relationship with each other, with God, and even with ourselves. So Jesus says to you and to me, to all of us together, whatever our history, wherever we have come from, whatever our story, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Change your thinking, change your attitude, change your direction in life. Go Jesus's way, kingdom, not empire. You'll never regret it. It's how you and I were wired to be, the life he always wanted for us. In a moment, we're going to share communion. That communion is a powerful symbol of what it means to be restored back into right relationship. Come. Come to the table of forgiveness and know that we are restored back into right relationship with Father God. Bless you.